Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ladder, I hardly know her.
It is November 1988. It has been a strangely eventful month. You quit smoking after a visit from the Cigarette Rangers WH. You peaked at 77 on the local music town charts with your much-appreciated remix of Kokomo from the hit movie Cocktail. And you learned the fantastic, terrible, and unknowable secrets of the Mennonites with your best friend, Amy. And now you're on the couch making your Christmas shopping list. You start flipping through the 676 pages of the 1988 Sears Wishbook for ideas. Your dumb brother Eric seems stupid enough to enjoy the digital saxophone on page 628, but that's a lot of money. Maybe the LA Law board game on page 433? Mom interrupts your browsing to give you a package from the mail. Packages in the mail are exciting! You open it up, and inside there's a small card on top of a nicely wrapped present. The card reads, "From your secret admirer." You slam the box shut because Mom's in the room and this is none of her business. You grab the latest issue and pretend to be reading that instead. I guess it's time to...
Listen to Sassy.
Is this a good time to mention that my band had a digital saxophone? Because it did.
Yeah, it is a good time.
Did it have up to four different sounds?
No, it was like a real musician's instrument.
I will put the link in the show notes and we can get that saxophone picture up, but it is made out of plastic that I believe if you burned it would kill your whole family within 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But the sort of the horn part of it, where in a real saxophone, there would be like a negative space, a hole from which it's just like solid.
Yeah.
It looks ridiculous. And it's about like 2/3 the size of a saxophone. Mm-hmm. So you look like a giant, or like there's something wrong with your arms as you're playing it. It's fantastic. It's the whole saxophone package, because even with a real saxophone, you're having a little trouble being super cool, unless it is, in fact, 1988. Mm-hmm. But with this one, no go. Not even the E Street Band would have anything to do with this one.
I had that LA Law board game, which was a lot of fun. Every time you closed it, it would go dun 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 dun. Wait, is that how LA Law began?
No, that's Law and Order.
Never mind. Damn it. It's going to be a real problem when we get to this perfectionist quiz.
The quiz this month, are you a perfectionist? I'm eager to find out everyone's results. Dave, you are first in the highlight question.
I want to highlight number two. Do you remember to send cards to all your relatives on their birthdays, including cousin Wilbur? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not, because I've never done that. And I never will. I just never got in the habit of sending people anything. Holidays, birthdays, whatever. You send it to me, thank you very much. I appreciate it. But I'll never remember to send you anything in kind. So that has developed over the years into like a slight begrudging of people that consistently send me cards. Then I feel guilty about not sending them back, like my sister. Like, I felt like we had reached an age in our lives where like we all agree that we don't need to give each other presents because we have careers, we've done stuff, we have money. It's not like I'm buying you something you would never buy yourself, like when you were kids or a teenager. Like, these moments are behind us. So really, it's just like, send me a text, say happy birthday, give me a call. That's fine. That's enough. That's plenty. And then all I have to do in return is text you on your birthday, which is really the gift you're giving me.
Two things. Dave, are you the person we should be sending these self-addressed stamped envelopes to? Because I feel like...
Well, the fact that
maybe that was the wrong call.
No. If there was such a thing as self-addressed stamp salutations or best wishes, my sister, or let's say you, Pam, you send me a card for my birthday in May, and I get it, and I'm like, oh, that's a nice thought. But inside that envelope is a card back to you that you have already written in. It says, "Dear Pam, on your birthday, thinking of you, signed Dave," but you did all that work, and the card's in there with an envelope stamped back to you. I think that would be the best gift ever.
It should be a baby shower standard.
Yeah.
That your baby shower gift comes with a self-addressed stamped thank you envelope. With the gift on it, and all they have to do is, like, maybe have someone forge their name at the end if you want it to look a little personal.
I have seen an additional adjunct gift to our gift is, I do not require a thank you note, especially for wedding presents, whatever.
That's a whole other level.
You're in love.
But that was going to be my part two, Dave, is you're married to someone who always remembers birthdays.
Yeah.
Tara, the gifts came to me until the gift that said, ah, you had a kid now. That's the end of that one. No, kids get the gifts. And I was like, it's a good policy.
Yeah, our gift list, Dave is right. It gets shorter and shorter every year. And I don't send cards, including to my lovely nieces who I love. They just get money that I put in their mother's account. As far as I know, she hands it on to them. If she doesn't, I would never find out. So it's a lot of trust involved.
I circled question number four. Did I circle it? I circled question number four. If a button popped off your favorite cardigan, would you sew it back on within a week? And then it says, honest now, which really got me. Because that's, because I was going to be like, yeah. And then it said, honest now. And I had to be like,
Sassy's trusting Pammy with their trust.
Yeah. And I appreciated the nudge. Because within a week, it made me go back and look at within a week. No, because I, even where I'm sitting right now, I can see three things that I have not sewn back on, but they're near me, ready for the sewing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that probably means they're not your favorite, so that doesn't apply. If they were your favorites, you would have dealt with it.
Oh, that's a good point. They're not my favorite cardigan laying around. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That feels satisfying to me, that kind of perfectionism, which is like, it's back on before the day. Like, I feel like that's a Martha Stewart feeling.
Once in a while, when I do manly house stuff, which is, you know, like I'll figure out how to glue something together, or I'll put a nail in the wall without cracking the wall, or like I figured out how to put silicone thread tape around a faucet so it doesn't leak anymore. This is a level of handiwork that I'm able to do. Mm-hmm. Little victories. But when I do it, I feel the same way. Like, wow. I am the guy who gets shit done. Meanwhile, there's like 20 things that are really wrong with the house that I have no idea how to fix. But when that happens in the moment, I'm like, yeah, Hercules, Hercules.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the adult equivalent of this is, when you wash towels or bedding, do you fold them the same day? Mm-hmm.
Is folding considered folding when you take the fitted sheet and then you just ball it up like it's rolling down a hill? Because that's how I fold a fitted sheet.
You ever do that, but do it too tightly? And like now your hand, your wrists are like in a Chinese finger trap kind of thing and you can't get out?
So I wear it to the opera.
Jason comes back 7 hours later. You're on the ground. Help, help, help.
Well, not to brag, but I do know how to fold a fitted sheet. So I do fold it into a rectangle.
You should brag about that. It's not like that's something you were born with. That's not genetic.
No, I learned. I watched a video.
Yeah.
And one time I folded it so perfectly rectangular that I took a picture and I put it on my Instagram. Not in a story, on the grid. That was how impressed I was with myself.
Grid worthy.
That's how impressive it is.
And not more than one people were like, holy shit, are you a witch? Because this is something people don't know how to do. But it's not actually that hard. Watch a YouTube video.
Well, that's the insulting part, because I have watched numerous YouTube videos. I've watched the Oprah episodes on how to do it. I've had friends stand in front of me while I think you've talked me through this at least once over the years.
But it may be the same thing for when, like, Dave, do you remember the time that I showed you how to tie our compost bags that don't have a built-in tie? And I was like, just make corners. And you were like, what? And then I just showed you, stretch the opening. So it's flat, then you got two corners, just tie
witchery.
Them.
I've never felt so dumb as when you showed me that. Like, well, of course you can tie it that way. What's yours, Tara?
Mine is, question 9, do you keep more than 2 of the following things in your purse or locker? A mini sewing kit, a spare pair of nylon/tights, a dictionary, a mirror, an extra set of car or house keys, and a calculator. Of course, my answer is yes, because 3 of these things are phone. dictionary, mirror, and calculator. But I also cast my mind back to the time when that was not the case, when I would routinely carry around an address, a physical address book, which there are also questions about, which really took me back. Because I bought a little teeny mini one that was like, I had my one at home, and then I had a travel one that I would carry with me. But I also, to this day, carry around Band-Aids, Neosporin, Excedrin always, which I have put into an Altoids mini box, which if you are also a person who gets headaches, that's perfect. And in case
and
the
you
headache
have a person that has bad breath and hangs around with Tara, watch it. Because you still have bad breath, but you feel great in the head.
Yeah, I don't carry gum the way I used to, because we usually just, we have gum in the car. But do we always have gum in the car? Yes. When we're down to our last four cubes, do I get more gum? I sure do. And it's definitely the case that whenever I run out of something, or I replace it immediately. So I have backups for my backups of like all groceries. And Dave knows this is true.
Although in Austin, it gets so hot that the gum melts in that little gum container that you get gum in now. So like, I just, after the last heat wave, I just opened it up and I tried to like shake out one cube and like nothing's coming out. I just lift it up and the thing is just half filled with now like foamy white heated gum that is sort of like almost a slurry, but not quite. It was one of the most disgusting states of matter that you can have. It wasn't quite solid, wasn't plasma, wasn't anything, not quite gas. It was like Austin gum is the fifth state of matter.
I was going to ask for a t-shirt that said, "We have gum in the car," which is the most parental thing I've ever heard, both of you. And then I'd rather have a picture of Austin gum and it's, "We had gum in the car." Mm. this glop.
Glop.
No, we have gum in the car. It's just a great thing to shout as the beginning of a scene when you enter.
All right. What did everybody score here on the perfectionist quiz? I got the lowest. Hello, are you awake? You've got a very, very low perfection level here. Now, you're either really shy and don't want to stand out from your mediocre fellow man, or you're just plain lazy and unmotivated. Either way, the time to buck up is now.
I don't think that's true. I think you're a perfectionist about the things you care about, and everything else does not register. Point.
Yeah, tell me about it.
to prove my point, Dave did come out of the bathroom earlier today with his shorts on, fully inside out.
You're telling secrets!
He did not walk to the coffee shop that way, I'm told, but I didn't see him when he left, so it's
there was a trip
guess
to the bathroom between all these things.
Yeah.
And I took my shorts all the way off for reasons I will not get into. It's more fun if I leave it to your imagination. It was really boring, but
I don't know. That sounds like perfection to me, so I don't know, Dave. We'll see.
I did. I was walking around with those inside out shorts for a good 2-3 hours after, too. I was like, I could take them off.
Because I saw him as soon as he came out of the bathroom. He was like, "Your shorts are on inside out." And he was like, "Meh."
Okay, but here's the thing. I had a few things in those pockets.
Yeah.
And so, like, I thought, well, I'll just take these coins out of my pocket and throw them into the coin jar. You have to go, when they're inside out, you have to go under the strap, under the waistband, and then inside the pocket. So it's like you're kind of fondling yourself a little bit, and then I had to go into the pocket, and then I put the coins in there. It was a whole adventure today with the inside out shirt.
Yep. Bam.
Wow. I got a selective perfectionist. And
same.
I'd like to say that I don't know that that's true. I'd like to do better on this quiz than right in the middle. I feel like in some cases the answer was just because, like, time. Mm-hmm. But, or questions like, do you know your social security number? Is that being a perfectionist? Not now, but back then.
Dave doesn't.
I do now. So now I know it. And that number is.
You know Dave's social security number.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I don't know Tara's phone number.
We found that we were watching something recently where someone was like, "I don't know how to get in touch with us."
It's in my phone. Why do I need to remember it?
And I confidently rhymed his off, which is even more impressive considering Dave has changed his phone number for some reason every time we've moved to a new state.
I like to have a local area code number.
I have had the same phone number since the year 2008, and Dave does not know it. Just saying. I know
the area code.
That's it.
Great.
Wait, here's the thing. I'm not going to get it right, so there's no worry about, let me try.
About doxing me? Just beep it if you get it right.
I'm not going to get it right.
You might.
Because I only have a vague idea of some of the numbers that are involved and maybe the order that they're in. So here we go. There's 917.
Correct.
I feel like there's a 14 in there somewhere, but it can't start with a 14. So we're going to go like 672 and then like 1449.
That's number Wang.
You got you got some numbers right. There is a 14 in there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The style 14.
Just keep hitting it.
The lowest tar there.
Anyway, I'm also a selective perfectionist, and I think that's extremely accurate. It even specifically cites the certain things in your life, like your grades, your looks, your room, or whatever, that you work hard to perfect. And certainly, those are all the things I really cared about in 1988. Now,
just to counter, isn't that seeking perfection by going, nope, not this one. It won't be something that isn't perfect. I say as someone who watched you stop trapezing in trapeze class.
Yeah.
Mid-trapeze. You were just like, oh, this will never, I'm not even actually going to attempt. And then your arms detached from your free will and you dangled until they just took you down.
Yeah. That is exactly what happened.
They fishing hooked you off the trapeze. Because you were like, no, I am no longer in this class.
I paid money to do this and was like, tried it one time, climbed to the top, and then was like, absolutely not. Mentally and physically, it was like all at once.
It's perfectionism.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps.
Our listenership is all over the map on this one. We have a high of 32.
Whoa.
So kudos to you, perfecto.
But that's only 2 points into the next category that Pam and I aren't in. So that's not too crazy.
Yeah, that's the high. The low is 8, which is pretty low. I had 12.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree that when you say I'm a selective perfectionist, but what I is very little that I select, like my computer life, like my digital hygiene is above reproach.
Yes.
But everything else is sort of a mess.
Yeah, not only that, but like anytime he sees my desktop, which is perfectly organized, by the way, he is disgusted.
It is not perfectly organized because you shouldn't have files on your desktop. You're doing it wrong. That's the computer equivalent of the junk drawer that has important things in it. Where's the fire extinguisher?
Fire it gets changed all the
time. It's in the junk drawer, you say? Why is it in the junk drawer? How come it's not hanging up on this wall? And our house is burned down. That's you and your computer.
Oh my God. We got calls. We got one call about the perfectionist quiz. Let's hear number one.
Hello, everyone. I just took the perfectionist quiz, and I got a 0 to 14. Staffy thinks I'm lazy, and they told me to back up, which is something I haven't heard since, like, 1993 from my father yelling at me. Like, it was ridiculous. I read all the answers, and they all seem like no matter what you get, it's not good enough for Staffy. So maybe Staffy is, like, the highest level, and it's still terrible. Thank you, as always, for brightening my week. I hope you guys have a good day. Bye.
Parents telling you to buck up is so deflating when that happens. You say that with the wisdom of the ages. I have no retort. Ah, bye.
All right. We got a couple of calls about the second person character who we are hearing about all of her exploits in our intros. Let's hear clip number 2.
Holy cow, you guys. This is Jenny, founding member of Cigarette Rangers WH. I cannot tell you how amazing it was, Dave, that you captured the spirit of my childhood club so well. How did you know that we were extremely creepy little children just like that? Amazing. I can't even tell you how fun that was to listen to. Well, I can. I'm telling you right now. That was super fun to listen to. It means so much to me. I have to tell you, the original Cigarette Rangers only had 3 members, myself, Christy, and Steph. And Stephanie passed away, sadly, a year or so ago. And honestly, you guys retelling that story, telling that story about us and bringing, reminding the world that we existed really makes me remember her so fondly. And I think she would have gotten a real kick out of this. the second life you've given to our club. So thank you so much. And I'm really glad that our heroine stopped smoking. She has better things to do with her time than smoke. And get over Dennis. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Jenny, for calling. Sorry for your loss, but I'm glad to, I think we're all glad to hear that this is a legacy that your friend would appreciate.
Hello. So much like Pam with Johnny Depp, I had prepared a statement. This podcast really brought me back to my only good middle school memory of rushing out of study hall and going to the library to pore over all the teen girl magazines I wasn't allowed to read at home, including Sassy. The one teen girl magazine I did get at home, we'll call Glen B, Christian Girls Magazine, so you don't get angry letters. And in that magazine was a story, an often told tale, of a girl who was very traumatized by a cruel joke date, much like our sassy reader. And after reading that story, I told myself I needed to watch out. So one of the days when I came back from the library, I saw a love note sitting on top of my books, and I was ready. And it was signed by a guy the popular dudes picked on, and I knew he was not into me. And I looked around to see those same, you know, quote-unquote popular dudes peeking back at me. And I was a very shy, scared kid, but this rage came out of from me, and I marched to their table, and I slammed the letter on the desk. I was like, you can have this back. And I marched back, and they were kind of freaked out. They had not expected that, nor did they know I was armed with the fearsome power of dramatic teen girl magazine fiction. So while not a healthy thing for a 12-year-old girl to internalize and have confirmed, that was my teen girl magazine middle school underdog triumph. And I'm sorry to the sassy reader that I did not call earlier and give this story. But as a 40-year-old, I can say there are good people who won't invite you out on Cruel Joke Day. So thank you, Tara, Dave, and Pam.
I feel like that moment needs that Simple Minds song.
Yes. From the end of The Breakfast Club. Yes,
that one. Yeah.
Yeah, love it. Got a few calls about pop culture. There have been a few instances where we've said, is this an Australian thing and is this legit? And an actual Australian person called us. Clip four.
The Australia Report.
Hi, everyone. This is Suzanne calling from Australia. Just loving the podcast and want to respond to some of the questions that have come up recently about Australia and Dolly. I was an avid Dolly reader at about this time, I guess. Firstly, a hell of a lot of the things you talk about are really familiar. I have no idea what the actual corporate crossover was, but those layouts look like they could have come straight from Dolly. Agro never meant cool. In fact, there's an Australian children's character. He's a puppet called Agro. Key defining characteristic was that he was Agro. Spunk, it does get said. It's always a little tongue-in-cheek. We're aware of the double meaning. Groovox, never in my life heard that before. Dolly never really had this kind of cool girl, mean girl thing that Sassy has. It was never particularly cool when I was reading it. In the 70s, I mean, it was kind of ahead of its time because it was saying things that people weren't saying to teenagers, but also it had knitting patterns and recipe pages. So
just translate that one because that would look garbled.
Yes. Dave thought it said naked persons. I believe she's saying knitting patterns.
You're right. Yeah, it's knitting patterns.
Oh, it was in that middle ground between the traditional women's mag and something a bit more women's libby. Cheers. Bye.
Just on a technical note, there was a lot of flutter during that call, so she doesn't sound as old grandma as she comes across on that. It was just like the connection. She's calling from Australia, so the connection was a kind of in and out.
Yes. And I'm thrilled to tell you both for the very first time, I have acquired two issues of Dolly.
Ooh.
From the Sassy years. I've gotten two, and I think they're both from 1993. And Nicole Kidman is on the cover of one of them.
Oh.
With her original curly red hair. Not her first Dolly cover either, by the way. So we'll have to do something with those when they arrive. I'm excited to see them. Thank you, Suzanne.
So far, everything lines up with what we've been saying. Aggro means aggro.
Yeah.
Spunk, not used in a non-ironic way by the sounds of it. And Groovox, never ever have I ever. Good to know. Thank you, Suzanne.
Suzanne.
Yes.
We also heard from Stephanie about the surprising impact that the debate movie Listen to Me with Jamie Gertz and Kirk Cameron had on her. Let's hear that, clip five.
Hi, Sassy Crew. This is Stephanie from Kansas. I'm a little behind catching up on the podcast, so I just heard the episode where you're talking about the Listen to Me movie with Kirk Cameron and the debate team. I loved that movie as a kid, and in the movie, the whole topic, I guess, of the debate season was abortion. And Jamie Gertz won me over to be the pro-choice side when I was a kid, and I've never wavered. And it seems really important, especially in the light of the Texas legislation that just went through. Anyway, hope you get to see the movie. It was good when I was a kid. I have no idea if it holds up nowadays, but thanks for everything you do. I love the podcast. Bye.
I gotta say, I'm probably not going to revive my Netflix disc account. If anything were going to do it, it would be doing this podcast because there's so many important movies that are not on streaming. This came up last week where we were talking about, Gleaming the Cube was one that was recommended to us. It's not streaming. Pump Up the Volume is not streaming. Does that not seem preposterous?
This has been DVD talk.
Robert was very familiar with the Downtown Choir from the most recent What Now? Let's hear from him.
Hey, this is Robert. I was listening to the latest episode, and it's really funny, like, you know, up front when we were talking about amalgamation of musicians and Curtis Sliwa. And this is kind of my heyday, man. I graduated at college in 84 and in 88 started at grad school.
Oh, I heard crime or grime school, but apparently that's not it.
I think it's grad school.
I think you're right. Grad school.
And I knew all those people. For one thing, I'm from Akron, so obviously I knew all the waitresses. Then Marcus Leatherdale, somebody.
Marcus Leatherdale, that was one of the names that we said was made up. I think I said that.
I heard Marcus Brown's Day Off, like it was a low-budget Ferris Bueller.
That I am in touch with on social media. He was a big deal, you know, photographer. And Michelangelo Signorelli, however one says that name, was kind of like an influential gay writer for the Village Voice time. I don't remember knowing him too well, but I remember reading everything they wrote. And the Curtis Sliwa part of it is just hilarious because I certainly encountered him on the subway. Not great people. Keep up the good work. Bye.
I love this idea that Robert is like the Forrest Gump of that era. Like he came in touch with everything we talked about in some manner.
Mm-hmm. If people don't know who Curtis Sliwa is, he was the founder, I believe, of the Guardian Angels, who were like a vigilante group that wore red berets and went on subways to intimidate people and be kind of fascist.
Yep.
Finally, we heard from Chip.
When I was in college, or probably high school, I was friends with the daughter of our university's president, and I was visiting there one night while her parents were gone. And when we heard them coming home, I kind of got up and I made some noise so they would know who I was there. And her dad's like, "Is that Chip I hear?" And I was like, "Yes, it's Chip, your dream come true." And I came bounding down the stairs and ran right into Debbie Norville, who was there visiting because she was an alumna of our school. And she looked at me, she says, "You are a dream come true." And that's my story about Debbie Norville. And I've been thinking about it for 30 plus years. And whenever I hear her name, I feel the need to tell the story. Thank you. Goodbye.
And why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? It's a great story.
It's like my Phil Hartman story I always break out. It's just like, you gotta.
Yeah.
She tells it too, though, Chip. That's what you don't know.
On the fashion tip, we got a couple of calls, fashion and beauty. First from Kim.
Hey guys, it's your buddy Kim from Syracuse again. I was listening to you guys talk about old wives' tales or myths that your parents told you about pimples and your hair wet and all that stuff. And it reminded me of my own mom was very kind and did not point out the fact that I had acne, and it probably was because I didn't wash my face enough or I touched my face or whatever. But I went over to my friend Brenda's house for dinner, and her mom, Vonnie, was a badass. She had six kids. Brenda was the youngest, three boys, three girls, just like the Brady Bunch. She was the head of the Democratic Party in my town, which was by far the minority party. She was just amazing and terrifying also. And in my family, we didn't eat a lot of vegetables, but I was taught when you go to your friend's house for dinner, you eat what they give you. You don't complain. And she served a salad for dinner, and I'd never had a salad. I was probably like, I don't know, 10 years old. But I tried to eat it, and I was trying to do that thing where you just push it around your plate, like make it look like you ate something, but you didn't really eat anything. And Vonnie looked very pointedly at my plate and at my face and says, you know, one of the ways you can get clear skin is if you eat your vegetables. And then she like looked pointedly at my acne-ridden chin, probably. And I was so terrified that I ate like the whole salad. I was so scared. But now I can laugh about it because it was pretty hilarious, actually. Bye.
Sounds like a party whip.
That's so rude. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm glad that you're kindly disposed toward her still, Kim, but that's really over the line, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Now, we've hung out with Kim a lot over the years, and we've even got grocery shopping with her, and I still think she isn't on the vegetable train. I don't remember her buying a lot of vegetables.
No one likes vegetables.
I do.
Why would she eat them?
She just got salad shamed. I'd never eat a salad again.
But I bet she still votes Democratic.
Yeah.
What's it going to be, Kim? You either got to start voting Republican or you got to start eating your vegetables. One or the other. Got to even this shit out.
I'm with Kim. I only eat vegetables bitterly and out of obligation.
Hi, guys. This is Kate from the Atlanta area. I am calling in for a dumb reason, but I'm calling anyway. I know that you guys are talking about bells on your clothes, and my senior year of high school, I had one of those bells, like, for belly dancers, like those anklets, and I wore one, and so when I was walking through the hall skipping class, fucking around at school, which I did a lot, you could hear me coming because it was like step, ching, step, ching, step, ching. And my bracelet, my anklet got confiscated eventually by one of the teachers because she was so annoyed by the sound that she just basically went insane and was like, give me those now. I just thought of that. And yes, I was that, oh, such a Kevin Kuhn forever.
The many sighs as she recalls the, like, I wore one. Like, she just.
I don't know anything about Kay, but that message smelled like patchouli oil.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. That's her point. She's disgusted by the patchouli person she used to be. She's not that person anymore. Yes.
I had one of those too, Kate. Am I the only one in here of the three of us that wore one of these at some point?
An anklet? No, but I did have. Do you remember Harmony Balls?
No, who's that?
I'll look it up. It was like a pendant.
Wait, don't tell us. Let us guess.
Wait, all right. Let me guess.
Go ahead.
Is it a place you go to?
No.
That you have to invite someone to the Harmony Ball?
No.
Is it like the Rainbow Bridge?
No.
Like a Sadie Hawkins dance.
Is it sort of like the digital saxophone we were talking about up top, except you put it over your scrotum?
Is it what we call Skittles?
Is it like those Chinese,
the meditation ball?
Yeah, you turn the two balls in your hand thing?
It doesn't have a phrase. It just says that thing you're doing with your fingertips. Yeah,
no phrase. It's just a quote and then my hand doing this. This is great podcasting.
That's the closest. Harmony ball pendants worn as necklaces have been used in various cultures for centuries.
Oh, it's like the thing they put on the back of trucks with the testicles, except you wear it on your neck.
Yes. Do they jingle?
It's ballsack.
A harmony ball, also called angel collar or bola necklace in some cultures, typically is made of sterling silver and contains a small bell-like item that emits very subtle but audible chimes with movement. Hmm. Not unlike the sound of wind charms in a very soft breeze. So I had one in the 90s. And you just wear it, but when you walk, because it bounces against your chest, it's like jingles. And so
you sound that, like a cat.
Yeah, it's a prettier sound than that, but basically, yes. So that was my version of the jingly anklet. So we organized our calls into categories thematically, and this final category I have just called Pam Corner.
That's probably not good.
Hey, guys. This message is primarily for Pam. This is Daisy in Georgia, and I am 47 years old, and I was discussing with a friend of mine how things were changing, if you get my drift. And you know what she recommended I take for that? Bonafide. So just want to let you know, bonafide is bonafide. Thanks. Bye.
My favorite thing about our past two callers is they sound like they've just realized they're in Georgia. And I'm calling from Atlanta? What happened? Georgia. Appalled. Shocked.
Well, you can find out about Bonafide and other Pam tinctures and treatments in Pam's junk drawer.
It's got important things in it.
This next call, it came in before our last slumber party episode, and I declined to put it in the rundown for reasons that will become obvious when you hear it. Clip 10.
Hi. I am going to keep this call anonymous for reasons which will become apparent in a moment, but I'm listening to the October 88 Slumber Party episode with Pam's rambling story about Reverend Dollar and, boy, unexpected income. And I have to say, Pam, I always thought my mother was the queen of the rambling, incoherent, going down every rabbit hole, including every unnecessary detail story of the universe. I thought she was the champion of this particular trait. She has now been debunked. And I gotta say, I'm looking forward to my next phone call with my mother, because thanks to Pam, I think I have now been officially inoculated in my annoyance and resentment against my mother's particular inability to tell a succinct, coherent story. So thank you for improving my relationship dynamic with my mother, especially since she will be relocating to my city within the next 2 weeks. God bless you, Pam. Continue to do good work in the world. Thank you.
I just want to point out that story was not so concise either. But anyway, the reason that I included it...
I edited that too. That was a good 30 seconds longer than it was.
The reason I included it this time is because she called back. Let's hear clip 11.
Also, look up debunked in the dictionary.
Yeah, I think she means dethroned.
Hi, guys. This is a follow-up phone call. I am the anonymous listener who called in a few weeks ago, ripping Pamela a new one over not being able to tell a coherent story about I expect unexpected income. All I have to say is, Pamela, I am so fucking goddamn sorry that I mocked you, because I shit you not. Tonight, I went to my mailbox after days of not collecting my mail, and there were two unexpected incomes. I recently closed on a new home, and I got a $25 refund from my title company because they overcharged me on an auditing fee. And there was one of those generic Nielsen company surveys that I opened, and there was a dollar in it. So thank you, Pamela Riven. Your I expect unexpected income energy has brought me $26. Tell as many rambling stories as you would like. Thank you.
Vindication!
Was that worth $26, Pam, to go through that?
Literally, a Reverend Dollar showed up at her house. That was a hard one to get to her between the time she called in the first time and the second time. It was very difficult to get all of those things to fall in the line, but it was worth it, because I will not be mocked.
No.
I find it hilarious that what you get from the Nielsens is still a dollar, because we were a Nielsen family for a long time, probably around 88, 89, actually, now that I think about it. And that's what they would pay you for a week of, like, writing down in a physical paper journal everything that everyone in the family watched.
Really?
You got a dollar.
Dang.
That's not enough.
No.
That's not enough.
It's not.
Is it because that was, here's me just trying to justify, is it because that's all they were legally allowed to give you so that they wouldn't influence your opinions?
I guess.
What's wrong with me? I think I need some bona fide. That was a lot. Well, I know she called and apologized, and that was very big of her because she got money in the mail, and I hope she's not the only one, because I certainly got some unexpected income as well this week, but...
All right!
Oh, I'm feeling some sweat from that one.
If it makes you feel better, Pam, sounds like karma's knocking on her door in the form of her mother, so enjoy that, anonymous caller.
You know, she lives in Atlanta!
The holidays have come early because we're getting into the December 1988 issue, starting with its teen life topics. Catherine meets some young adults who are preachers. Figure out if you're really in love. See if anyone can talk you out of taking up smoking. And much, much more. For my plug this week, if you remember shows like Legends of the Hidden Temple and Double Dare, they are back. There's a whole bunch of sports-adjacent shows like Holy Moly and others, and I basically wrote an entire roundup of all of them, letting you know which sports-adjacent physical challenge TV show might be right for you. You can find that on Defector, and I linked it in the show notes.
Speaking about sites you should visit, usaquizshow.com. Season 5 of our game show is on the way. 27 new contestants battling out for pop culture quiz show supremacy. Check all that out, usaquizshow.com. And don't forget to follow us at David T. Cole, at Tara Ariano, at Pamela Rubin, and at Listen to Sassy for visual aids and weird other little things throughout the week to tide you over between episodes. Don't forget, you can support this podcast on Patreon. It's just $5 a month and gets you a whole bunch of good stuff, including those PDFs of the whole damn magazine. So you can see all the stupid ads. You can see the page numbers at the bottom.
Wow.
You can see those little drawings they put that, oh wait, that's Mad Magazine. Or you can support us for free with a 5-star review on the app of your choice.
You can call us. Our hotline is 720-SASSY-GO. If you leave us a voicemail, you know, any length, why would we judge? We'd have no reason to judge how long it takes you to tell a story. You know, we may play it on a future episode. You can find more information about the podcast, visual aids for all our episodes, and contact info for us at listentosassy.com.
Wrap it up, Pam.
It's just that I was 3 and...
And I was a very shy, scared kid, but this rage came out from me, and I marched to their table, and I slammed the letter on the desk. I was like, you can have this back. And I marched back, and they were kind of freaked out.